You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
On Friday, April 18th, Sharks General Manager Mike Greer met with the media one last time to give his thoughts on the season that was 2024-2025 for the San Jose Sharks, while also looking ahead to the future.
Mike, I know the success in the NHL is wins and losses, but did you feel there was maybe a step forward or some growth this season?
Yeah, I think overall the foundation started to be laid of what we want to be and the standard of work and compete and, hard to play against. I think that was kind of started to get laid here this week, this year. The guys played hard. I think it's definitely a different feel for me. Watching the games, I think we had a chance to win a lot of games. For a multitude of reasons, we didn't. But, I think it was a step forward. It was disappointing to still finish the season and where we did. And it is a wins and loss league at the end of the day. So, to some degree, you are what your record says you are. And that's the kind of frustrating and disappointing piece of it all, because I think the group played better. Definitely more competitive and everything, but there's still a long ways to go.
How would you assess Ryan Rosowski's first year as head coach?
I think Warsaw did a good job. I think he relates well to the players. I think he pushed the group, kept them on task, and I think he got a lot out of them and put some structure in and made some tweaks throughout the year that helped our group. And, I think the guys enjoyed playing for him.
Did you see the growth this year of Will and Mac? Obviously, those guys are the sort of the foundational pieces, future cornerstones here. And you guys had a plan in place for their development. How did you feel that worked this year? And how did you see their growth from day one to now?
Yeah, I think the plan worked pretty well for those guys. I think, it's a difficult league for young players, and I think both of them did well. Mac, had an unbelievable year for a kid who, was 18 throughout the whole season and had played the 1C role and went up against other teams' top pairs and defensive lines a lot. I think he handled it well, handled the media well, handled all the attention he got well, and on the ice he drove our team, not only in games but in practice, which is a lot for a young kid, but it says a lot about the kind of mentality and the person and player he is for him to take that unknowingly take that responsibility on. And I think Will. I'm happy with the year he had. I think coming into the season, I think we knew there'd be lots of ups and downs and some growing pains, and he handled it well. As you guys could probably see, as the year went on, he got a little bit more comfortable with things and started making more plays and figured out things he could do and couldn't do. And just getting used to the pace and how the game's played. And so we're really happy with both of them. I think there's not many kids who were asked or being relied upon to produce a lot for their teams at that age. And I think they both did a really good job of doing that.
Last year at this time, those guys were bitter rivals in college. Now they're inseparable. How much has that helped this team? Just knowing that your two guys that you're going to be building around here are almost best friends at this point, really.
Yeah, I think it's been good for them too to kind of have someone to go through this with. For us, I think it's their bond is going to carry this group, and I think I think their excitement to be at the rink and to be in the NHL and to play hockey together and share this experience together, I think just kind of their energy was a little bit infectious to the whole group. And when you go through a tough season like this, having guys come to the rink and be excited to be at the rink is really helpful. And I think those guys were definitely happy to be kind of starting to live their dream and doing it together. So for us, it's to have those kind of two kind of pillars to start building with is exciting.
You guys are, made strides this year and, both ends of the ice, but obviously still a lot of work to do. Is there one priority more than the other in terms of generating more offense or just cutting down on the goals against? When you go into the offseason, do you look at maybe one, trying to address one ahead of the other, or how do you kind of see this?
I think it's all somewhat tied together. But we definitely have to, be better defensively. Keep pucks out of our net, cut down on, the high danger chances, and be able to get out of our end a little quicker and not get hemmed in so long. So it's all kind of tied together. But as you see, as the playoffs get starting here, and you watch Four Nations, it's you're not going to win too many games when it really matters, 7-5 and things like that. You got to be tighter and better defensively, and I think that's that's kind of the next step for our group is to cut the goals against them.
How does that happen?
There's a lot of things that will go into it. I'm sure getting another year in the system will help. Personnel will help. If there's personnel changes, that'll help. Growth from our players that are coming back, getting better and working on things that they've been asked to work on. And the coaches are obviously going through the film and watching the trends in the league and seeing what, the successful teams are doing. So I'm sure there'll be some system tweaks and things like that. So there'll be a lot that goes into it and, some maturing from our group where sometimes you got to realize that it's okay to win a game 2-1 or 3-2 and that the importance of keeping the puck out of your net.
As the season went on, you asked some of your young defensemen to play some pretty quality minutes against top guys, and thinking like Thrun, Mukha Madulin, even Cagnoni and Thompson. How do you think that they progressed to get to that point?
If I start with I think Cags and Tomer, for them, I think it was a good experience just to see what the NHL is like and what it's like to defend these players at this level. I think they earned their opportunities up here. I think Cags had a great year for being a rookie in the American League, and it was good for him to get a taste of, defending guys up here, and then even offensively seeing what you can get away with. Lanes that are probably available in the American League aren't available up here, so really valuable experience for those two. And then I think Muck and Henry, those guys, it's important reps. The more reps you get, the better you get at everything, and they're tasked to play against other teams' top players a lot, and I think they held their own. So it's something that they can take home and build on and be confident that they're able to do it, especially this was Shaq's first real taste of it, and he was even more so played on his offside quite a bit, so I think it was really really good experience for him. I think his last probably 4 or 5 games was probably the best hockey he was playing, so they should feel good about it, but also I think they realize how hard it is. It's not an easy position for a young player, but we're excited about them, and I think they should be excited about what's ahead.
Speaking of Mukha Madulin and how he got injured, and we talked with Warzo about sort of the response, and I know in general you guys have been happy with how your players have stood up for each other and responded, but an incident like that, is there maybe that has to be instilled maybe just a little more still in the room or in your players or whatnot?
I think overall I'm pretty happy with how guys stuck up for each other and had each other's backs. I think would we like maybe a little bit of a different response in that situation? Sure, but at the same time, it was an overreaction from Bertano a little bit. I didn't think the hit probably looked worse than it actually was. And then some of it's a little bit on Shaq too, learning the league. Like you gotta always be ready to protect yourself, and that doesn't mean fighting or anything like that. But you gotta be you know, kind of have your head on a swivel and be ready. So I think it was a little bit of a learning lesson for him. So, you know, overall, I think I'm, you know, pleased with the steps that we have taken of, you know, being there for each other on the ice.
Going back to Will Smith, is the plan still for him to be a center?
Yeah, I mean, we drafted as a center. He's been a center his whole life. And yeah, I think starting next year, we'll probably get him back in there and see how it goes. I think it never hurts. I think that kind of used to be a little bit of the old way when centers would come in the league as wings and learn their trade like that. I know, you know, Tomas Hertl did it here, started on the wing and went back to the middle. And I think Will is more than capable of being a really good center in this league and a point producing center and an impactful center. So we're excited for that. And it's, I think it was good for him too to know that he can play on the wing. And, you know, if there's situations that come up where we feel like we want to move him to the wing for whatever reason may be, for the fact that he'll know that he can do it will be, I think it's important to him.
Is it probably a day one plan for next year or that's too far ahead?
I think we'll probably put him back in the middle. Like, so that's when we drafted him. That's what we envisioned, and that's what he's been his whole life. And I think he's got all the attributes to be a good center in this league.
Macklin Celebrini obviously is, you know, he's the cornerstone of the franchise. I mean, he was the guy last year. How do you, you know, Warsawski just told us he doesn't want guys to get used to losing. He clearly doesn't like it. How do you continue to provide the development and change the culture without him maybe being a little bit not only just hard on himself but you know the losing to not get too frustrated, if you will?
Well, I mean, players like him that are driven and wired the way he's always going to be not happy with losing. So that's just and some of that comes with maturity and getting older. He's still an 18-year-old kid, so I'm sure he's going to be frustrated and upset at times. I think it's a lot of that is just going to come with growth. And, you know, as the team gets better, you know, hopefully, and he gets older, he'll be able to handle those stuff. But you can't really take that competitive fire and drive out of guys like that. It's just how he's wired. He's going to be, when we don't win, he's going to be upset, and that's kind of the way it should be.
Tommy Toffoli told us, like right after the deadline, that he was at least going to have a conversation with you about what the plan is for the future. Because you know, when you guys signed him, you know, he saw what the plan was. He knew maybe this year would be frustrating, and you yourself had said you'd be active next year. What was that conversation like with him, and what was the message to him about next season and the rest of it? I mean, for the rest of the contract.
Yeah, I talked to the leadership group after the deadline, but that's between me and the leadership group.
We talked to Kovalenko yesterday, and he seems to be, just the way I read it, is kind of non-committal about maybe wanting to be a Shark and what his role might be here, and kind of need to want to have a conversation with you about what that might look like next year. I don't know, how did you kind of assess the way Nikolai played for you guys this year, and did you get the player that you thought you were getting acquired from Colorado, I guess?
Yeah, I had a good meeting with him yesterday. You know, Kobe, I think he's a talented player. As you guys can see, he can make plays and, you know, sees the ice well. I think it was an adjustment for him to play in the NHL in North America over here, different type of hockey, and also getting traded on top of that. But, you know, I think probably a little bit getting made out of this more than I think it should be. I think I think Warsaw is he's been great with our group, everyone. I don't think he handled Kobe any differently than he handled anyone else in this room. I think he treats everyone fairly, and he's got an expectation of what he wants from players as far as compete and work and you know, managing the puck and how we're going to play and things that he wants. And when you look at Kobe, I think at times it was hard for him to meet some of the things that were asked for him, and that's fine. You know, it's no different than a Will or Henry Thrun coming out of the lineup or Shaq coming out of the lineup. You know, young players come to this league, and it's a difficult league, and you're asked to do things. So I just think with him, he's a player who has, skills to make a play, and I think he's finding out that, there's a time and place for all that. As far as when to make a play, and he can make a play, as you guys saw, but there's also times where you got to manage the puck and things like that. So when everyone comes to this league, dating back for forever, whenever the league started, you're all always one of the best players, right? And then when you get to the NHL, you're like, well, there's a lot of guys better and more skilled than me, so I better learn the other things, the little things that impact the game and to keep me in the lineup and things the coaches want to do. It's a very select few guys who are coming to the league and they go right to the top. So I think for young guys, not just Kobe, you got to figure out what else you can do to help your team win and what the coaches want from you. And the guys that figure that out quickly are the guys that kind of find a niche in the league and stay in the league.
So fair to say that, he has an understanding now that, he more wanted to come back after your conversation with him than you'd like to have him back too. You'd like to re-sign him here and bring him back to the ball.
I mean, I can't speak for him. I'm sure he might have opportunities to go back home and play back home or be comfortable back home. I'm not sure what his thought is that way, but from us, he was a good, I think he's a talented kid. We just got to sort out how much he's willing to buy into what we want to do and how we want to do things here, and we'll kind of go from there.
So still a little question mark as to whether or not you can re-sign or you want to re-sign him, is that fair to say?
I think there's going to be an evaluation period with that and talk with him. And I think he's got to be honest with himself and talk to his agent and his circle about what he wants and what he's willing to do. As of right now, we'll plan on him being here next year, but yeah. we'll kind of see how it goes.
Not to blow it out of proportion here, but he was a big piece of that trade, right, from Colorado, and you guys were excited about it. Yeah. Disappointing then, if you look back at that trade and you got a couple of picks and nothing, but just to have that, I guess, would be.
I don't know if it's. I wouldn't call it disappointing. We were excited about the player, but sometimes things don't work. Things don't work out, and it's kind of part of the business. But I wouldn't, it's not a closed door or a closed chapter, or that kid's his story hasn't been written yet. So we'll kind of see where it goes.
Georgi have told us after the last game that he had already had a conversation with you that you should let him know you're moving on. With that being said, looks like Askarov, it's going to be a good run for him in the NHL next season. How do you? Do your best to support him and help him, and kind of, if he's in here, what do you do for maybe a backup or a partnership with him?
Yeah, Georgi, I think he had a flight yesterday, so he couldn't really stick around too long for meetings. So I ended up meeting what he asked to meet earlier. I let him know we'd probably be going in a different direction there, and I think Askie will get a chance for sure to be one of the two goalies up here. Whether he's the one or the 1B is going to be up to him. How he performs, how he plays, how he trains in the summer and prepares to come in here. So we're not going to just hand him the role and say you're playing 60 games next year. He's going to get the ice time that he earns and deserves. We'll find another goalie to kind of come in here and tandem with him and push him. He's not Connor Hellebuck where you're going to go out there and just say, I need a guy to give me 20 games, right? We need someone who's going to challenge Askie, push him, and then even possibly be the guy if Askie doesn't perform well. So I think it's important for us to have competition. I think I've talked about that from day one, the importance of competition on the roster, and and you know, goalie's no different.
Are you looking for maybe more of a veteran goalie too to kind of complement his, Jarl's younger, and maybe also too personality-wise too? What kind of fit are you looking for with Askarov?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it probably wouldn't be ideal to have two young and inexperienced guys in the net. So you know, there's all different levels of, of veterans. You know, there might be guys who've played, you know, 3 or 4 years, and then there's the guys that have been in the league 10 years. So we'll look at all types of those guys, and, you know, we're our kind of goalie group, and, you know, myself and the staff, we're kind of assessing right now of personality-wise of what we think would work best with Askie.
Mike, anytime you're in a rebuild, obviously there's two key departments of the organization, both scouting and development. Now that it's been 3 years, how would you assess the development team in the organization? Exceeding expectations, meeting expectations?
Yeah, I think our development group's been great, really. You know, I think Todd Marchant leading it has been really diligent. You know, and we're fortunate enough to have a lot of NHL experience helping these guys. You know, Tommy Wingles, Lucas Pisa, Sonny over in Europe with their guys, and then, you know, having reached Jumbo and Patty around here. So really happy with the job they've done developing, you know, not only the guys here that are here with the CUDA and the Sharks, but, you know, the guys in college and USHL and junior, you know, our scout Alex Vladika. And Chuck has done a great job getting videos, putting together, and our staff has done a really good job identifying things they want these guys to work on and getting, you know, NHL clips and sending these guys and staying on top of them. And the amount of travel our development guys do is it's crazy, really. They're on the road nonstop, seeing our guys, meeting with them, talking to them, on the phone with them, doing Zoom calls and everything. So I am extremely, extremely happy with the development group.
Got a lot of pending RFAs, but, you know, guys like Thomas Borlaug, you know, Gushin. Obviously, we mentioned, you know, Kovalenko. What do they need to do to, you know, I guess, come back?
Yeah, I mean, I think those guys, it's just it's a continuation of kind of trying to earn your way up here. I think they all have been here, you know, it's probably 3 years for all those guys. You know, Goosh, Boards, it's been 3 years here, and so I think they know what the expectation is. I think they have a good idea of what they need to do and work, things they need to work on. I think they'll all go home with a clear plan of, you know, things we think they need to work on and build on and everything. So it's, like I said, it's all about the competition and earning your way up here.
Asking about a few guys, your RFAs who don't have, you know, Bortolo, like, he can still go down to the Barracuda, obviously, help you guys out there, so the season's not over yet. But guys like, you know, Kostin, Romanov, what are you looking to do with those guys?
I mean, it's kind of too early to kind of give definitive answers on that stuff. I think we're going to, yesterday was the players, today will be, you know, meeting with the coaches, then, you know, staff will be, you know, next week where we really start to dig into this stuff on the roster and really evaluate each and every player. So it's probably a little too early to give anything definitive on anyone, really.
Can you say if Ruda's kind of the other UFA here? I mean, can you say if they're interested in maybe bringing him back?
You know, Roots is, he's been, you know, he's been pretty steady for us here for 2 years. I think he's done a good job helping our young guys out and kind of being a little bit of a stabilizer, especially on the PK. But him, as I told him, he's on a list with some other guys where, you know, it's a possibility we bring them back, but, you know, we gotta look to do what we think is best and make tweaks to the roster and try and get better where we can. So, you know, we'll just kind of see where it goes with him.
Important to have that left right balance on the back end there for.
Yeah, ideally it would be good to have, you know, some balance back there. You never know how it goes. Everyone's looking for everyone's looking for the same thing out there. So, but if we could have the left-right balance, would be an ideal world. That would be what we do.
Ostapchuk was a big part of the Zetterlund trade. Would you assess his play down the stretch here? Do you see him as still as a 3C? Obviously, you got Beasted down on the farm too. I mean, how do you?
Yeah, I thought Chucky. I thought maybe his last three games. I thought he played well. You know, for a kid to get traded, you know, at the deadline, I think it's whether you want to admit it or not. I think you can almost look back the other way. When Zets came here, it was a real struggle for Zets. When he came here, then the next year he kind of took off. So I think Chucky was getting more and more comfortable as he went on, and you know, I think we feel good about him as a player and as a kid. I think he fit in the room well. I think you can see the attributes that he has with the size and the skating and the physicality. So you know, I think he's right on track with what we think he can be. We think he can get there, and you know, we're not going to put too much pressure on the kid. We're going to let him kind of grow at his own pace. And you know, a lot of those times with those players in those roles, it's not something that's overnight. It takes a little bit of time with them, and we'll give it to him.
Going into the off season, do you plan on being more aggressive in free agency this time around, or about the same as last year?
I mean, we'll. You know, we'll be smart, we'll be active, and, you know, we'll be smart. We'll see what's out there. I'm not going to, I think I've always been telling you guys I'm not going to go crazy out there and just, you know, sign four or five guys and throw out a bunch of term. But we'll definitely be targeted with the players we are going after, like we were this summer.
Well, last summer you were pretty precise in saying that, you know, don't expect anything more than like 4 or 5 years, right? This summer, is there a possibility of maybe going beyond that?
I mean, I guess there's a possibility of it. I think it's still not something I'm excited to do, to hand out, you know, seven, eight-year deals or anything like that. So I'd still like to keep it more in the short to midterm range if possible.
Something you mentioned at the deadline that we spoke to you is that, you know, you wanted to reacquire a first round pick in that Grandin trade to use it, not maybe either to draft somebody or to almost weaponize it. Is that something you're going to kind of maybe not shop around, but take some calls on, see what you can do, maybe move up in the draft if you like a prospect or something?
Yeah, I think it just gives us some ammo to be involved in some things if players become available, or like you said, it's to try and move up or whatever it may be. But it's you know, I think it's a pretty valuable thing, and if we use it to draft a player, then it's someone we'll be excited about to kind of add to our you know, our cupboard of young players. But it's definitely you know, that's definitely a possibility. We've got that, you know, having two firsts this year and two next year. I would say those picks will be in play for sure.
How valuable will the upcoming Calder Cup playoffs be to assess development of some of your young guys?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really good hockey, and I think it's valuable for those guys. Even these last, you know, few games, when you play meaningful games, it's whether that's in the NHL or in the AHL or college or the Memorial Cup. I think when you have to make decisions and in play where everything you do matters, you know, every little play, if you make a mistake or you're not dialed in and the puck ends up in your net and your season's over, I think people grow from those a lot. So, you know, I'm looking forward to those guys getting the opportunity to play in that environment and to see how they do, because I think it'll be a valuable experience.
You're asked about Warsawski and, you know, his job. How did you think about the job his assistants do? Do you anticipate those guys coming back next year?
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I think, you know, Hoots was a good veteran presence for us back there. He's been in the league a long time. So I think he's got a little bit of an old school way around him, which I think was good for our group. I think Holmes, you know, kind of took on some of the face-offs and and skill stuff, you know, pre and post practice. And I think the guys enjoyed that, and he's got a good personality. So I know he helped a lot of those guys, especially the guys who were getting scratched a lot mentally, kind of get through things. And Wise is, you know, I think he's, you know, he's offensively thinks the game well. I think he's bonded with our group well. So, you know, we're still going to have to go through the evaluations for everything. But, you know, overall, I think I would probably anticipate, you know, the whole staff being back. And we don't need to talk about Spears yet. Everyone gushes over him anyway.
Last couple of years, you know, the draft lottery, it's been the Bedard and then the Celebrini. And, you know, I don't know if there's that marquee guy this year. It looks like Schaefer's kind of considered the top guy. I mean, how do you see him? How do you see this draft? Maybe those the top three, seeing that you guys are kind of guaranteed a top three's pick here.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're kind of fortunate enough to last year to have, you know, be able to pick someone like Mac. And but every you know, every draft's different. So I think if you look at the top of the draft, I don't think there's our probably top five is probably different than, you know, probably 80% of the league's top five. So our scouts have done a good job seeing all these kids. There's a lot of talent. I think we feel really good about the player. Wherever we end up, where the ping pong balls go, I think we're going to get another really good player that's going to really help our group. So it's at the top of it's probably more after Schaefer, it's probably more forward heavy, I would say, which is fine. Like I said, I think it's going to be there's good players there that'll I think will be impactful NHL players.
I guess the feeling is that you guys need to take a step next year, right? I mean, this is being into the near the bottom. It's kind of you're done with that, right? Yeah. We need to take a step here.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I kind of told the group that yesterday. It's not, you know, it's I think everyone gets excited and you know about, you know, the lottery and picking near the top and all that stuff, and it's definitely been exciting. We've been lucky to get Will and to get Mac, and we're going to get another really good player this year, but you know, I hope not to be in this situation for a while after this year.
If you guys do get that first overall pick, I mean, would you ever entertain the idea of, you know, if a package came across moving that, given where, you know, you guys are celebrating, it's not necessarily a clear number one pick. Would you ever entertain maybe listening to offers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no if someone wants to make a really good offer of an established young players, then yeah, I'm not going to, it's not something I'm going to close the door on. You know, last year I probably shut the door on everything that came my way. But you never know. You never know what there's a Ricky Williams, Herschel Walker type offer. I think we'll listen. So.
Safe to say to improve the team next year is defense, kind of the defense, you know, defenseman, kind of the clear priority.
Yeah, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, that I think it's going to, for us to improve, it's going to start with us keeping the puck out of our net a little bit more, and that kind of ties in with the breakouts, getting out of our end a little bit cleaner. So I think we you know, improving the back end is definitely something we're going to look
at. And I have to ask, because you mentioned it, did you get any kind of Herschel Walker offer last year for Macklin? The pick, I mean.
I did some good ones. Yeah. There were some, probably some ones that are pretty comparable to that. But we didn't. As crazy as a couple of them were, we didn't really think about it for more than 30 seconds.
Stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network all off season long as we will continue all coverage of the team, including the draft lottery, the draft itself, and NHL free agency, while also checking in with players and coaches throughout the off season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.